donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we are back. And like I was telling you, Joe, that the Reiner Fulmich, he's heading this up. He's done an investigation, and he's going to tell you what they're planning on doing. Like I said, it's a international coalition of over 500 attorneys that are going to try to bring these people to justice. So whenever you're ready, take it away.
Good afternoon. My name is Reiner Fulmich, and it is my pleasure to serve as one member of a group of distinguished international attorneys and lawyers who have been collaborating on this very important case for many months now. This case, involving the most heinous crimes against humanity committed under the guise of a corona pandemic on a global scale, looks complicated only at first glance. But when you put together all those pieces, all those little pieces of the puzzle, as we will do this for you with the help of many renowned experts and other witnesses during this proceeding, you will see four sets of facts. One, there is no corona pandemic, but only a PCR test plandemic, fueled by an elaborate psychological operation designed to create a constant state of panic among the world's population. This agenda has been long planned. It's ultimately unsuccessful. Precursor was the swine flu some 12 years ago. And it was cooked up by a group of super rich, psychopathic, and sociopathic people who hate and fear people at the same time, have no empathy, and are driven by the desire to gain full control over all of us, the people of the world. They are using our governments and the mainstream media, both of which they literally own, to convey their panic propaganda 24/7. Two, the virus itself can be treated safely and effectively with vitamin C, D, zinc, etc., and also with off-label use of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, etc. But all these, not alternative methods of treatment, but real methods of treatment, were banned by those who are using the guise of this pandemic to push their ultimate goal, which is to get everyone to receive the, as we will show in this proceeding, not only ineffective, but highly dangerous, yes, lethal, experimental injections. Three, the same people who made the swine flu, which ultimately turned out to be a mild flu, into a pandemic 12 years ago by first changing the definition of what a pandemic is and then creating panic, created this corona pandemic. The swine flu was their first real attempt at creating a pandemic. And just as one of its purposes then was to divert our attention from the blatantly fraudulent activities of their financial industry, more aptly to be called a financial mafia, which had become visible through the Lehman crisis, this is also one of their major purposes of this corona pandemic now. Had we taken a closer look then, during the Lehman crisis, instead of blindly believing our governments, government's promises that the perpetrators of those financial crimes will be held liable, we would have seen then that they had been looting and plundering our public coffers for decades. And we would have seen that our governments are not our governments anymore. Rather, they have been taken over by the other side through their main platform, the World Economic Forum, which had started to create their own global leaders through their Young Global Leaders program as early as 1992. Two of the first graduates being Angela Merkel and Bill Gates. And we would have understood already then what we will show you now through this proceeding. These financial crimes went unchallenged by our politicians because they're aiding and abetting those who commit them and profiting from these crimes. Four. Ultimately, however, we will show to you, the jury, that the other side's main purpose is to gain full and complete control over all of us. This involves the finalization of their looting and plundering by deliberately destroying our small and medium-sized businesses, retail businesses, hotel and restaurants, so that platforms such as Amazon can take over. And this involves population control, which in their view requires both a massive reduction of the population and manipulating the DNA of the remaining population with the help, for example, of mRNA experimental injections. But it also requires, in their view, the deliberate destruction of democracy, of the rule of law, and of our constitutions through chaos, so that ultimately we will agree to losing our national and cultural identities and instead will accept a one-world government under the UN, which is now under the full control of them and their World Economic Forum, a digital passport through which each and every move is monitored and controlled, and one digital currency, which we will only be able to receive from one world bank, theirs, of course. At the conclusion of the case, and after you have heard all the evidence, we are confident that you will recommend indictments against all six putative figurehead defendants: Christian Drosten of Germany, Anthony Fauci of the United States, Tedros of the World Health Organization, Bill Gates, BlackRock, and Pfizer. Ladies and gentlemen, this case is about a long-planned agenda of a group of ultra-rich people and their financial mafia based in the city of London and on Wall Street to use a pseudo-pandemic as the guise behind which, while our attention is on the pandemic, they want to complete their decades-long efforts to gain full and complete control over all of us. There are numerous platforms on which this group has been meeting and discussing this agenda, but the most important one is that of the World Economic Forum, which was invented in 1971 by a then 33-year-old Klaus Schwab. Its members are 1,000 global corporations with at least $5 billion U.S. dollars in annual sales, politicians, media representatives, scientists, and other so-called high-profile personality. They meet once a year in Davos, but there are other such meetings, for example, in China. And since 1992, they have created and presented to us their own group of political leaders for the world. Among the first graduates, as I mentioned before, are Angela Merkel and Bill Gates in 1992. Others are Sebastian Kurz, up until recently Chancellor of Austria, Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand, François Macron, President of France, and many, many more. This group, which is now called the Davos Clique, is openly — the publication The Great Reset by Klaus Schwab is one of the most important sources for this information — promoting the shifting of the world's assets to this group of super-rich people so that in 2030, ordinary people will owe nothing and be happy, as it explicitly states there, under their one-world government with a digital currency given to us by their one-world bank. And they're also openly promoting, in close cooperation with people like the putative defendant Bill Gates, the Rockefellers, and others, the drastic reduction of the world's population and the manipulation of the remaining population's DNA all the way into transhumanism. Their most important goal is, however, the controlled, by them of course, implosion of the completely looted financial system and simultaneous introduction of a digital currency issued by One World Bank, controlled by them, and just as important, the introduction of a world government under the UN, which has come under their full control in 2019. For this purpose, they have made concrete plans for this corona pandemic since at least the spring of 2001, Operation Dark Winter, followed by another such rehearsal, the lockstep exercise by the Rockefeller Foundation in 2010, and finally, Event 201 in October of 2019 in New York, sponsored by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, the Rockefeller Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Members of the jury, we will call a number of different highly renowned expert witnesses from all walks of science, but also witnesses who will testify to the damage that they suffered as a result of getting the experimental injections in this trial. After our opening statements, we will start off in a week from now by calling a member of the U.S. military, James Bush, who participated in Operation Dark Winter in 2001, former members of the British intelligence services, Brian Gerrish and Alex Thompson, and investigative journalists Whitney Webb and Matthew Arrett, former World Health Organization employees and advisors Dr. Sylvia Behrendt and Dr. Astrid Stuckelberger. They will explain to us the historical and geopolitical background of what we are confronted with. And they will show to us how this agenda has been planned for at least 20 years, starting with Operation Dark Winter in 2001, and some 10 years later, the lockstep scenario by the Rockefeller Foundation, ending with the dress rehearsal, Event 201, in October of 2019. And they will explain how, when there were no cases which they needed to declare a public health emergency of international concern, they created them by having Defendant Drosten invent the story of asymptomatic infections, which don't exist, and how this PCR test can detect through mass screening of perfectly healthy people those who are infected. A lie, as we will show. We will continue with the next group of witnesses, Dr. Wolfgang Wodak, an experienced lung specialist and former member of the German Bundestag and the Council of Europe, who managed to expose the other side's first attempt at a pandemic, the swine flu of 12 years ago, as a mild flu. Professor Ulrike Kemmerer, biologist from Würzburg University. Dr. Mike Yeadon, former vice president of Pfizer. Dr. Sylvia Behrendt, Dr. Astrid Stuckelberger, Professor Dolores Cahill of Dublin University, Professor Antonietta Gatti from Italy, Professor Bergholz from Germany. These experts will explain to us what is behind the legend of the Wuhan wet market outbreak. They will show that the virus is no more dangerous than the common flu. The PCR test cannot tell us anything about infections, but is the only basis for all anti-corona measures, including the ultimate measure, the so-called vaccines. And the so-called vaccines are not only ineffective, but extremely dangerous. Regardless of the natural or man-made origin of the virus, our immune system is perfectly well capable of dealing with the virus, as evidenced by an infection fatality rate of between 0.14 and 0.15 or even less percent. There was no excess mortality anywhere until the experimental injections started. There were not even any cases in early 2020. However, they needed cases in order to declare a public health emergency of international concern, as this was the only basis on which it would be possible, according to their own made-up rules, which all governments of the member states of the World Health Organization had agreed to use untested new drugs, the experimental injections, on people. After a first failed attempt at announcing this public health emergency of international concern, because there were no cases, they tried again in late January of 2020 after they had created cases with the help of that now infamous Drosten PCR test and announced this public health emergency of international concern 2 weeks later. We will hear from these experts that these cases were almost all false positive test results, nothing else. The next group of experts are Dr. Thomas Binder from Switzerland, Dr. Brian Artis from Texas, Dr. Shankara Chetty from South Africa, and Dr. Wolfgang Wodak from Germany, and John O'Looney, undertaker from England. These experts will tell us how right from the start we were witnessing a deliberate, completely senseless banning of normal, effective, and safe methods of treatment of respiratory diseases, and instead a mandate of treatments that must now be considered serious medical malpractice. Intubation, remdesivir, midazolam. John O'Looney will explain how he first, believing the other side's allegations about a pandemic, even helped the BBC in pushing their panic propaganda, until he realized how under the guise of the pandemic, people were intentionally being killed. We will then call the next group of experts, including Professor Alexandra Orion-Code from France, Dr. Mike Yeadon, Professor Susharit Bhakti from Germany, Professor Luc Montagnier from France, Dr. Vanessa Schmidt-Krüger from Germany, Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of the mRNA vaccine technique from the U.S., and Professor Anne Burkhardt, pathologist from Germany. They will show us that while the virus did not cause any excess mortality, it has a survival rate of 99.97%, the shots are now killing people and have been causing excess mortality of up to 40% since September as a result of a poisoning with the spike protein and of shutting off our immune system. Dr. Mike Yeadon will tell us how a group of scientists has even found concrete evidence that the makers of the vaccines are experimenting with lethal dosages to see how the lethal side effects can be manipulated in such a way that the population will not immediately understand what is happening. The next group of experts will explain to us how it could have come to this. This group includes Professor Matthias Desmet from Belgium, Dr. Ariane Bileran from France, Dr. Meredith Miller from the U.S., Professor Harald Wallach from Germany, and Stefan Kohn, employee of the German Department of the Interior. These experts will walk us through how the other side, after having established the public health emergency of international concern, in quick succession introduced us to the lockdown, the nonsensical and dangerous mask mandates, and the very harmful, both physically and psychologically, social distancing, until they arrived at their ultimate goal, the ineffective and dangerous, even lethal, injections. And they will explain to us in detail how our acquiescence to all this was made possible through a gigantic psychological operation whose panic message we kept receiving through the mainstream medias and our politicians, both owned by the other side, relentless propaganda. The next group of experts includes Leslie Manoukian, a former investment banker from the U.S., Naomi Wolf, journalist and author from the U.S., Ernst Wolf, a German economist, Professor Christian Kreis, German economist, Professor Holger Recko, a German economist, and Markus Krall, a German economist. This part of the proceeding will have these experts explain to us in great detail about the intentional destruction of our economies and how the other side is working on a controlled crash of the financial system to both get away with the crimes that they have already committed over the past decades, looting and plundering our public coffers until there's nothing left, and to introduce a one world bank and digital currency plus digital passport. The final group of experts include Matthew Arrett, an investigative journalist from Canada, Vera Sharaf, a Holocaust survivor, Ilana Rachel Daniel from Israel, Rabbi Smith from New York, Patrick Wood, an expert on technocracy from the U.S., Avital Livni from Israel. This final part of the investigation will have these experts tell us how an important part of the other side's agenda has to do with population control, or rather, eugenics. After World War II, eugenics had a bad name, Julian Huxley, who founded the UNESCO, said. But he and the very large group of people who supported the idea of eugenics would soon be able to continue with their efforts in this direction, he openly explained. The parallels between what happened then, 80 years ago, and what is happening now shall not be ignored. Vera Sharaf will remind us of this. After you have heard all the evidence, we have no doubt that you will recommend indictments against all our putative defendants for crimes against humanity. Thank you.
There you go, Joe. And this is what he's going to try to do. We reported on this before. Everything we've been telling you, is come down exactly the way we told you it was. We were telling you this in March of 2020, and here again.
Population control. Yeah, I want to add something. They talked about that Klaus Schwab. Well, what a lot of people know who just finding out who he is. They call him the most dangerous SOB in the world, but behind him is his top advisor, Dr. Yuval Noah Harari. He's a transhumanist. And this transhumanist said data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself, he said. Now, and those elites, well, he's talking about the World Economic Forum members, and he's talking about natural evolution, as he states that science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Now, we're not talking intelligent design by God or a God, but mankind's intelligent design. So this is the top advisor behind Klaus Schwab, the guy who heads the executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, and he's talking about how we're going to re-engineer the future by hacking organisms, think about it, and by doing intelligent design through evolution on the human body, changing the human body.
Here's what he said, Joe. He said, there is no God above the clouds. We are God. He says, we are God. Now, this is what he's saying. And he was saying what Hitler failed to do, what the Nazis failed to do, we now have the technology. We can do that. And people will be what we decide they'll be, okay? And so this is...
So it backs up. These are the words of the people we've been talking about. We quote their own words. They are going to, just think about that, re-engineer the future. They're going to change people by intelligent design, by this Dr. Harari and Klaus Schwab and the other people on the World Economic Forum who want to be just like Lucifer, want to be as gods.
All right, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're going to open the phone lines now. Now, we were reading, Joe, yesterday. I gave 10 names of those 51 senior intelligence officials who lied about the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. These are the ones
right.
that lied. And remember, it was supposed to be a crime to lie to Congress. Of course, here, you know, they lied.
They lied to everybody.
Yeah, and here you go. Now I'm going to pick it up where we left off. Nick Rasmussen, former National Counterintelligence Center Director. Russ Travers, former National Counterterrorism Center Acting Director. Andy Liebman, former National Counterterrorism Center Deputy Director. John Mosman, former CIA Chief of Staff. Larry Pfeiffer, former CIA Chief of Staff. Jeremy Bash, former CIA Chief of Staff. Rodney Snyder, former CIA Chief of Staff. Glenn Gerstle, former National Security Agency General Counsel. David Prius, former CIA Analyst and Manager. Pam Persily, former CIA Director of Analysis. And Mark, boy, this is a good one here, Mark Polymeropoulos, former CIA Senior Operations Officer. So those are 10 more. We're reading their names off the air. These are the ones that lied about Hunter Biden. These are the people that were involved with the fake Russia probe. And again, what's happened is we have...
They wanted you to not have the president you wanted. They wanted to elect a puppet that could be controlled by this one world order and present this... Well, basically, they're tearing America apart with this revolution, right? Everything
yeah.
that's happened so far is destroying our economy, destroying the middle class, destroying our wealth, our money system, our belief in God, our Constitution, our law and order. I mean, everything they have done is destroying society as you know it as an American citizen. This is a revolution. It is a communist revolution, a part of this one world order. And you are living it, and you better wake up and realize what is going on and join the battle.
All right, very good. Did you watch any of the Ketanji Brown Jackson hearings today?
No, I got bits and pieces of things. I had to do a lot of other things, but basically, it's one of those things you got to remember. Biden said the nominee would be female, would be black, would be liberal, and she came out and said, "Well, she has no judicial philosophy." Well, that's, you cannot go through law school without understanding one of two things: you either believe in the Constitution and are, you know, on the side of constitutional jurism, or you believe the Constitution is a living, breathing document that can be changed according to the wills of the people. There's only two theories really out there, and she claims she has none after going through liberal schools, working with liberal organizations, ruling, judging as a liberal. So she's standing up there lying at her testimony. So right away I know one thing, she's a liar.
But she broke the law. You have a minimum, a maximum sentencing for pedophiles.
Right.
And the Democratic Communist Party, known as formerly the Democratic Party, is filled from top to bottom. It's filled with pedophiles, okay? And here now, she is, so the minimum sentence was supposed to be 4 years for the act of pedophilia. And here, she was giving these guys 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 months.
You know, I've got, it's kind of a sidebar, but do you know who David Frum is, the Atlantic magazine?
Yeah.
Screaming that when we were talking about Ukraine, remember I said how Zelensky wiped out all his political opponents, political parties, shut down the media? David Frum, on the very day that Zelensky did all of that, David Frum posted this on Twitter. Ukraine may be the first example in human history of a country that under the pressure of war is becoming more tolerant, more liberal. Now, that tells you right there the greatest, that this has got to be one of the biggest lies I've heard in a long time, and you and I have heard some beauties. This man is shutting down all opposition, all media, everything, becoming a total dictator, and the American liberal press is calling it, this is more liberal, more tolerant. This is the first.
All righty, we're going to go with...
Wow.
We're going to go with our co-host, a man that has all the answers.
All
yes.
The answers? Wow.
Yes. That's Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. You know, LifeSite News had an article earlier this week that Zelensky was inviting people from Poland to come into the Ukraine for abortions, given the restrictions there in Poland, the Catholic, you know, so he's a...
They have one of the highest rates of abortion in the world. And, of course, you're not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS.
Castor Ernie, you keep telling me this, people aren't supposed to know things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big secret.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Micah chapter 3, verse 6. Which I don't know if it ties in completely with your study, but what's your take on that? That's the idea that the Lord would turn off the lights on the prophets that were kind of, you know, issuing false prophecies for money, basically. And, you know, it's using either the metaphor of shutting, you know, the sunlight and bringing darkness on their day and not answering them. So what's your thoughts on Micah 3:6?
Let me go there. Micah 3:6. Let me see here.
Therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over prophets, and the day shall be dark over them.
Okay. And so, read that again, Joe.
Oh, so better start with 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them.
Well, you know, Micah was telling the truth. He was doing, in his day, he was a true prophet, and he was telling the truth over, you know, in total contrast to what the false prophets of his day were saying, okay?
Kind of like what we're doing with the media right now.
Right. Well, and because now, what was the reason the false prophets were prophesizing all of those false things? They were being paid to do that. They were being rewarded to do that. And so here, and they all claimed that their messages were coming from God. So Micah prophesied that one day, all of the false prophets would be shamed in their actions. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, they would be rebuked and found exposed, basically.
So when he was talking about being, sometimes this shame was a little different than the way we use it today. It means that they would be exposed and they would be condemned. And that's what the shame was.
They were going to be at the white throne of judgment.
Well, here, he said, then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yeah, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. So what was the penalty for a false prophet in Micah's day?
They would not get their press answered at all.
Well, for a false prophet, if a false prophet was proven to be, if what he said did not come true, then under the judges, and that they had to be killed.
Killed, yep.
Oh, I didn't know that, no.
Yeah.
Wow. So it came back right on them, basically.
Yep.
They had to be pretty stupid to try and go against God, and that's what they were doing. They were doing it for financial gain, thinking they could get away with it.
But I think it also, you know, the idea that they were presuming that things were going to go their way, because it's like the idea, the metaphor of, you know, the sun being shut down. You assume that the sun isn't going to shut down on you. You know, you assume that's going to be there for you.
Yep, so. I got to move on, but thanks, Cliff. Who did you say we had next there? AC, you're in the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I called about 2 weeks ago. You were doing something on As It Was in the Days of Noah. And at that time, when I talked with you, we agreed that Noah was a type of pre-tribulation, born-again Christian. Okay?
Yeah. The flood and Noah, that's right, because of the way the flood, the way it took people up off the earth, judgment was taking place on the earth, and God's people were taken up off the earth, and they were preserved while those on the earth perished. Yeah.
Types and shadows of
exactly.
Things to come.
Right.
Yep.
Well, it's very interesting that in verse 37, there's an 11-word phrase.
Verse 37 of what chapter?
Social also the...
What chapter are you talking about?
Exactly 11 words. If you go to verse 39, which is also
what chapter, AC? AC,
where?
Pardon?
Matthew 24.
Oh, okay, now I know, okay.
Matthew
All right.
24, verse 37, 38, 39. So in verse Matthew 24, verse 37, you find this exact 11-word phrase, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, and you find this same phrase, word for word, in verse 39, okay? Now, so the question is, well, which coming is Jesus talking about here? And what's real interesting is you only have two choices. It's either the pre-tribulation rapture or it's the third coming of Jesus at the very end of the tribulation period. Now, if you go back, if you back up 10 verses from verse 37 to verse 27, you find this. It says, Jesus said, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's the same exact 11-word phrase. So logic dictates that whatever coming is talked about in verse 27 must be the same as in verse 37 and verse 39. So the you look at this parallel here, lightning, and how long does lightning last in the sky? Well, in Bible terms, lightning lasts in the sky for only a moment, and it's gone in a twinkling of an eye. And that's the way Paul described to the Corinthian Christians the event called we call the rapture. So Jesus in verse 27 must be talking about the rapture, because in the rapture he comes like lightning.
You're right, but I think what you're seeing, there's an application for both the rapture of the church, and also the application would apply in those three verses to the end of the tribulation period when he returns, because there's a lot of people, and that would go over and for starting with out of Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 11. And then ending, you would have both applications there. It would apply to both of them in two different ways. So if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. If you go to verse 30, though, it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn.
Yep.
Well, this sign in verse 30 has to be in the sky for a lot longer than a flash of lightning.
Yep.
Because all the tribes of the earth are going to see it and mourn.
Yep.
So this sign here in verse 30 is not like lightning. It's going to be up there for a while.
Right.
And then it says they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and that's when he comes in judgment to seal the doom of the people who've taken the mark of the beast.
Well, listen, you don't have to convince me of that. You got to convince Bruce and Don. They're the ones that need to hear it. And I hear you call in every now and then. But
yeah, they really don't like talking with me.
Yeah. Well, you hit the nail on the head, but I got to move on. But thanks for calling. All right, who did you say we have next there? Ryan, you're in the air.
Hi. I was wondering if that judge that's so lenient on that pedophile guy, if she'd be so lenient if it was her own kids, if she has any, that he was messing with, you know.
Well, remember, liberals have rules for you that they don't apply to themselves. It's always been that way. It always will be that way.
That's true. You know, but what I called about, I noticed your lineup of callers last night. It was really impressive. It was one intelligent person. They're all men, too. They're really intelligent. It was about six or seven right in a row. I don't know if you noticed that, too, but I was feeling pretty stupid about myself. But
well, actually, we had one lady called in. It was Sister Mary Grace.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right after that, there was all these. About five or six. Did you notice that? It's like one really kind of deep.
I noticed on different topics. Well, some topics will attract all men. Other topics will attract mostly women. So
I was just impressed with their knowledge, because I'm kind of, I have a hard time with following the international stuff. I just pray, because I don't, you know, you have to, it takes a while to understand it all and follow it. But anyway, I was impressed with their knowledge. But I thought, well, at least. I was wise enough to get saved. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hey, can I tell you what somebody told me once? God's going to say to everybody, he's going to say to the Muslims, to the, you know, the Hindus and all, that you know there, you knew there was a God, because it's right there in Romans. You know, we all know that there's a God. You probably know which verse I'm thinking of.
Right.
But, I had this thought once. Anybody, I don't care who they are, they're in the middle of the expressway, and this truck is coming at 110 miles an hour, a Hindu is not going to, you know, a Muslim is not going to cry out to Allah, a Catholic is not going to cry out to Mary. We know who to pray to when we're in trouble. You know, we all know it. So it shows right there, it's rebellion. You know, it's not, you know.
Well,
you know,
say there's a mindset. What is being taught in a lot of your, in your universities, your cultural Marxists, the places like Yale and Harvard and so on and so forth, today out there mostly, is the mindset that you only, it's theoretically, God only exists if you acknowledge him. See, they go through this mindset that if you refuse to acknowledge something, then that it doesn't exist, that you can... you can have your own truth, whatever that is. Well,
right. That
is extremely stupid because, like you said, you know, you could go out and stand out in the middle of the highway and there's a semi coming. And you say, theoretically, I don't think that semi really exists. And you could have 100 people out there standing with you and say, we don't think it exists theoretically, so therefore it can't exist. But when it hits you, well... you'll have a change of mind. I mean, that is what
we're in trouble when we're with our back to our wall, the wall, and we all know who to cry out to. You know what I mean? I don't care if they're Muslims or they're atheists or we all, when they're really faced with death,
you're talking, there's no atheist in a foxhole.
Yeah.
That's what they
think. I had something else to say and I forgot what.
Well, see, here's the thing. You have a lot of people, like I ministered to a fellow for 17 years on death row, And unfortunately, this fellow was executed for a crime he never committed, okay? But he had this mindset that he was a great intellectual, and he studied different religions, and he would often kind of, try to impress you with his knowledge of this and this and this. And well, what happened as he got closer to the time of his execution, and I would tell him, you know, I mean, he had this mindset like, well, you know, you can't really tell me anything. I'm pretty much, you know, I'm a scholar and my ways and so on and so forth. But the last 2 weeks before he was executed, I was with him all the time. I went down. He asked if I would come down. Now he had to be certain. Now he started forgetting about all of these other religions that he studied. He wanted to know how he could be certain that he was saved, that he wanted to make sure that when he closed his eyes in death and he opened them up, he'd be in heaven. This was... so when it came down to the nitty-gritty, to the reality of it, he realized that, as God's Word, the Bible, now, and I said that to say this, is that he studied all of these books of religion, and what happens is all of these books, if you put them up next to God's Word, the King James Bible, there's one huge, huge difference in them. And that huge, huge difference is 1,800 prophecies, and the vast majority have been fulfilled already, and they've done in such a manner that it's mathematically impossible. And today, with all of our technology, all of man's technology and science, it would be hard-pressed to fulfill even a couple of those prophecies.
The supercomputer cannot do it.
Right. And so this is what people learn when the time comes to the end, those that are smart enough. Others who think, well, you know what, before I die, when I get sick, you know, they're kind of have a mindset that they'll be old and then they'll be sick and then they'll have time to get right with God. I just watched a film of all of these athletes out there playing soccer, basketball, football, dropping dead. And also, it was interesting too, here, these people that you will not see this on the fake news media, but these TV anchors live on air, you know, not just here in America, but in Europe, dropping dead from the poisonous poke, and they will not show that on the air. They will stop that. They will cut that. You will not see that. But there you go.
No, I'm not showing it. You know, somebody told me this. I think it's in Proverbs. You know, that verse where it says, I will mock you when your time, you know, when the time comes, I will mock.
That's in Proverbs chapter 1. It's the very end of.
That's not God saying he will mock. It's wisdom.
No. Wisdom. See, what wisdom.
Wisdom will mock. God's not going to mock them. Wisdom will mock them. But they'll think, why didn't I, you know, reality will come to them. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I do this?
Well, let me help you out here, because that wisdom that he's referring to is the word of God. You see, that's what wisdom, if you go over to here where he says, wisdom crieth without, she uttered her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, see, so wisdom is the word of God. That's what wisdom is here. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. See, there's only one judge. The judge is God and his word. And so that's where it says here, where he says, they would have none of my counsel. They despise my reproof. Well, let me go back to one. He says this.
There's one verse that says, I will mock. And I always thought it was God. God will mock. But it's not.
Yeah,
God.
Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have said it not all of my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, and when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. So it's God is that he's referring to, the word of God. But all right, well, listen, thanks for calling. I got to move on. All right, who do we have next? Pastor Hal? Okay, Al, you're in the air.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, I mean, how evil is this Zelensky, sir? He seems like, I heard they tried to kill him already 12 times or 10 times. Have you heard that in the media?
Yeah, but, you know, actually.
Could he be an Antichrist? Or I think there's more than one, like you say. It seems like it. He's 1,000 antichrists out there.
I think he is definitely an antichrist because of some of the things he did. Okay, now, in other words, he was a comedian, and he was also put there by George Soros. And,
right.
And he had, in some of those things that they were doing in mockery, mocking God, he took part in some of those. Like drag queen scenes and things like that. And so,
right.
And again, he promoted abortion, promoted child killing. So if nothing else, that right there tells you he's an antichrist.
I don't think he's even in Ukraine. I mean, what's he hiding out in Israel? I know he was asking Israel to go against the other day. He was asking them to go against Russia. But I mean, where is he? Nobody even knows where he's at. I don't think he's in Ukraine. I think he's a coward, you know, or whatever. I don't know. But if he is an Antichrist, they say that Antichrist can get hit and still survive, right? I don't know.
I don't know where he's at, but I do know here that
the media. He knows being an entertainer. He's an expert at media relations, and he is a master at working the camera and words and selling his mission.
Yep, and
Right, he did the bio. He knows about the bio labs. He knows about hitting Donbass. I mean, he's involved in all this. He's the president, right? So
yep, he is. But listen, I have to move on. So thanks for calling, Pastor Hal. You are on the air, and tell us how all the folks out there how we can avoid hell and how we can get to heaven. Are you there,
Oops.
Pastor Hal? What happened to
Andrew? Did you drop him, hang up on him again?
Hal, did you fall asleep, Hal? Okay, his line went dead. Alrighty. Well, we're running out
of radio. When things happen, there, you know, we have no idea what's going on, so we just have to roll with it.
Yeah, we can't do the light goes off there. Here, the title. Remember the title of the message, and that's what we're talking about. Again, we always want to say that the time will come, and everybody out there listening to me right now, everybody is a heartbeat away from hell.
Exactly.
Everybody is one heartbeat. Those that are not saved, all of those that are not saved listening to you out there right now. And what, like we talked about, well, Christianity is one religion, but this is another religion. But folks, believe me, there's a huge, huge difference. Right?
Right. Jesus, and, what was it, John 3:3, Jesus said, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again,
all right,
not see the kingdom.
Pastor Hal is back, so Pastor Hal, you can take it away.
Yeah, this T-Mobile phone cut out on me again. I'm sorry about that. Listen, everyone, everybody's probably been told you got to earn your way to heaven, your church membership or something like that's going to get it, but Jesus Christ is the only one that paid the payment on that cross of all the world leaders for you to be saved. Jesus made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, rose the dead, and he proved that he was God manifest in the flesh. God was allowing him to pay the payment on the cross for every sin you and I have ever done, because we can't save ourselves. Nothing we could do to wash away one sin so that we could get to heaven. But the pure, sinless blood of Christ can wash away all your sins, no matter how bad they are. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. Salvation is a free gift, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. Jesus did all the work necessary, and now he's offering you the payment he paid in your place on that cross. All you got to do is repent of your sins, which means be sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross. If you'll do that, he's knocking at the door of your heart right now, according to Revelation 3:20, and he's offered to come into your heart if you open up that door from the inside and ask him to come in and be your Savior. So if you want to do that, let me lead you in a word of prayer. Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to save my soul. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul, trusting you and you only for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you prayed that prayer, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You may know it because God made you that promise. Jesus did the work necessary for you to be saved. And if you just sincerely pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, he came into your heart, and he's going to stay there. Nobody can get him out. And listen, again, you can't work your way to heaven. The Pope can't save you. Your good works can't save you. Mary, Peter, Paul, or anybody else like that can't save you. Only the pure, sinless blood of Christ can wash away your sins.
Amen.
The way, that's the truth and the life.
Like he said, he's the only way. There's no other way. Well, we are out of time tonight, like we are this time every night. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless.
God bless.
And remember, always, 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 let's do it, fellas. Keep
fighting.
The fight.
Fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.